Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. It's almost like that's becoming so rhetoric. Amen. But we have to say it because there are new listeners that come on, and we want to make sure that they have the information that's needed. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means you have an opportunity when the speaker opens up the mic to share comments, amen, prayers, or whatever is on your heart. You have an opportunity to do that at that time. So that is the interactive side of that. We'd like to ask you, actually, what we're going to do is we're going to keep all of the mics closed until the pastor asks us to open up the mic, and then we're going to open up for comments. Amen? Oftentimes, we have distractions in the background, and we're just trying to make sure that that the speaker is not distracted, amen, when they are sharing the gospel. Amen, amen, amen. As we move forward, of course, you know, we are in Pittsburgh, Tennessee. Amen, amen. If you've never been there before, tell a friend that we are hanging out in Pittsburgh, Tennessee. Amen. What a blessing to be able to come together in different parts of the world and share the gospel. Amen. So we'll be hearing, of course, many of you have heard, and those that have not heard will be hearing for the first time, Pastor Paul B. Robinson from South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. Amen. We're going to have prayer. If there's anyone that you have on your, on the prayer list, amen, we're going to open up the mics. If you would like to have someone on your prayer list, the one first we're going to have on our prayer list is for Mother Gloria, her niece, I believe it's her niece. She had surgery this morning, amen, major surgery. So we have been in prayer for that, and we believe that God does answer prayers, amen. So that is important that we pray one for another. We cannot forget about that. No matter what the situation may be, no matter what the circumstances may look like, amen, God has the final word, amen, and we cannot forget that, amen. We being the believers and the body of Christ, we can be assured, you know, that Christ is with us. If God is for us, then who can be against us? Amen, amen, amen. Father, we come before you on this day. We come praying, Heavenly Father, for those on our sick list or those anyone would like to share. Would you like to share someone that you would like to add when you're on the prayer list?
Peter Thomas.
Peter Thomas. Peter Thomas.
Good evening. Robert Barnes. He's in critical condition.
Robert
Barnes.
So Robert who?
Barnes. B-A-R-N-E-S.
B-A-R-N-E-S. Amen. Are there any more on
Dr. McGrath?
Dr.
Okay.
McGrath.
Walter
Radcliffe. 1 minute. Walter Radcliffe. Okay. Someone else?
Okay. Foster. She had a surgery, and she's out of surgery now.
She's out of surgery.
Odell Foster.
Odell.
Odell Foster.
Carson. Amen.
Yes.
She's out of surgery.
She had surgery.
Hallelujah.
She's out of surgery. Doing better.
Amen. Amen. We're going to keep her on our prayer list also. Is there anyone else?
Yes, also Dr. Sardi, one of the sisters on the prayer line.
Sardi,
yes.
Dr. Sardi.
S-A-R-D-E-E, yeah, Sardi.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, I will. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I'm asking prayer for one of my pastors. In Chattanooga and his family. They all three have been contracted with the coronavirus. And they are ill right now. So I'm asking that prayer for them and that God will heal.
Amen. Amen. We're also keeping up on Leslie, who is prayer list for Mother Gloria. We also have Katrina Holloway, Janetta Hobbs, Tina Hobbs, Bill Scratlin. We have Keita, and also Sean Wilborn. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, and there's some more on the prayer list. Amen.
Nancy Shaw.
Nancy Jack Shaw. Nancy. Sure.
The Durant family, Dave Walker, Gary Drinsky's family, Danielle and Don Thomas, Eric Jones, Karen Griffin's family, Linda Taylor, Altonese Bell, Karen Clayton and her husband, Shirlene Perkins, Lisa Doggett, Elisa Kazak, the Stevenson family, and Valerie Stevenson, Patsy Coggins, Curly Keller, Jackie Kane, and Norman Rice.
Amen. Is there any more? Are there others? Anyone else? Is there anyone else? 240, I just hooked up your mic. Do you have anyone on your prayer list? Anyone else?
Yes,
amen. Father, as we come before you. Okay, I hear one more.
Go ahead.
Father, as we come before your throne of grace, Lord, we come before you, Heavenly Father, humbling ourselves, asking for prayer, Heavenly Father. You've heard those that are requesting prayer, Father. You know their need. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you hear about them right now. Lord, Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, for healing at this time. Whatever they're going through, Heavenly Father, we know that you are God, Heavenly Father, who's able to do the impossible. And now we're asking, Heavenly Father, that you would just minister to those who are in prayer right now. Father, there are those who are in the hospital, Heavenly Father, who's had major surgery. We give you honor and glory for those that came out. Father, we're praying for those who are still in surgery at this time. Mm-hmm. Father, we give you honor and glory for knowing, Heavenly Father, that you are going to take care of everything. Father, we ask that you would bless all the others, Heavenly Father, that have been that are on our prayer list. Father, there are so many who have illness, Heavenly Father. Lord, we come against illness in the name of Jesus. Father, we know that there's no weapons that are formed against us shall prosper. And Lord, Father, we're standing on your promises, saying that you would never leave us, nor would you forsake us. And Father, we just ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just a touch, and that you would anoint, and that you would heal in the name of Jesus. Father, we just believe, Heavenly Father, that we're going to hear a praise report, Heavenly Father, from those that are on our prayer list. Father, we thank you for knowing that the opportunity of prayer brings us closer to you. And when prayers go up, blessings come down. And Father, we openly receive the blessings right now that we ask on these that are sick and ill, Father. Those in the hospital, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your healing power in the name of Jesus. And now, Father, we just look forward to what you're going to do through in and throughout, Heavenly Father, for those that we have on our prayer list. We ask this and we thank you. We declare it, we decree it in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask for prayer for the speaker this evening. Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you anoint his tongue and his mind, Heavenly Father. Lord, that the words he speak and the meditation of his heart will be acceptable in your sight. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In the majestic name of Jesus Christ, we pray this prayer and we leave it at the altar. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to move on over right now. The next voice you hear will be Pastor Paul B. Robinson, who has a word for you and I. Pastor Robinson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Can you hear me, Elder?
Yes, you're coming in clear.
Oh, okay. Good. I was a little bit stumped there for a minute. I thought I wasn't getting through very well. How's everybody doing tonight? I know your mics are closed, but just say amen.
No, the mics are open right now. I'm getting ready to close them up, but the mics are open. Do you want me to leave them open?
Yeah, leave them open for a minute. I just want to hear voices on the line tonight. I want to know that God's people are on the line. So how's everybody doing tonight? Hallelujah. Just say hallelujah.
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 Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God is good. God is good. God is good. Wow, man. It has been a while since I have spoken on Blog Talk. I've been very busy, but God is blessing us so well, and He is richly taking care of us. So I want to thank God right now. I want to take that opportunity right now to thank God for all that He has done and all that He is going to do. I'm looking forward to some big things at the Epic Worship Center, and I believe that God is going to bring them there. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The message that I have tonight is one that I shared with the church on last Sunday. And I want to know, if you have your Bibles open, I want to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 6. You may have already read the text for tonight, but I just want to read through it one more time. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. First of all, let me say thank you, Elder and Sister Suzanne, for allowing me this opportunity. I've been pressing toward it all week. I've been trying to make sure I had all my ducks in a row and everything done up until this moment. So I thank you very much for allowing me and for having me tonight. Mark chapter 6. Beginning with verse number 1. I'm going to read through verse 6, but we'll have a focal point on verse 4. Amen. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue, and many heard him were amazed. They asked, "Where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles?" Then they scoffed, "He's just a carpenter's son, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us." They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own family." And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people, one version says folk, and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. I have a question for you all tonight. All of you who are listening, whether it's by internet or by phone or by radio, or whether you're riding in your car, whether you're walking, jogging, sitting at home, relaxing, or sitting down for dinner, I got a question for you tonight, and it's the same question that I have asked several times. And the question is, do you really know him? I found myself asking myself that question. Do I really know him? I've started with an analogy from when a mother or a family has a child. I'll get into the message in a moment. I want to share this with you. When a mother and father have a child and they raise that child up to be whatever they want him to be or her or whatever their desire is, And it's one thing that we find out about that is we say that we know our children. We know them. We know who they are. We know all about them. But when a child gets into a situation or some problem arises that they can't handle, they get caught stealing or get caught with a DUI or get caught doing some unlawful thing, anything unlawful. And one of the first things that I remember, and I've heard many, many times said, is that's not my child. That's not my son. That's not my daughter. They wouldn't do that. So I asked this question. Did you really know them? Did you really know them? And I'm asking this same question tonight from Jesus' standpoint. And the text says Jesus was teaching effectively and wisely, but the people of his hometown saw him as only a carpenter. I got a question, and I want to ask you, how do you see him? He's no better than we are. He's just a common laborer, is what they said. They were offended that others could be impressed by Jesus and follow him. They rejected his authority because he was one of their peers. I want to put a period right there just for a moment. He was rejected because he was one of their peers. How many of us have been in a place to where we have been rejected by people of our own peers? And one of the things that happened is that when somebody grows up with you, when somebody grow up with you and somebody say they know you and somebody say they got you figured out, you know, they've been with you, they slept with you, they've ate with you, they've rode bikes with you, and then you grow up and you become something and you are rejected by people who you thought knew you or knew who you was. How do you think Jesus felt? I ask a lot of questions because I have an inquired mind and I want to know. How do you think Jesus felt when his own peers rejected him? And as I said before, people who he was raised up with, people who he talked to every day, hung out with, so to speak, you know, went out to eat. He was rejected by them. See, the thing is, and this I like what in this reading here when it says they thought they knew him. They thought they knew him, but their preconceived notion about who he was made it impossible for them to accept his message. Jesus said that a prophet, in other words, a worker for God, is never honored in his hometown. Lord, have mercy. You know, this brings me to me. I want to talk about me. Can I talk about me? Okay. I want to talk about me. Here in South Pittsburgh, and I know that I've raised up, I just had my 60th birthday. And I raised up in this town all of my life. And people know me or they know about me. But do they really know me? And one of the things that happened is when I began preaching, nobody could believe it. Nobody could believe that this old guy who was doing drugs and chasing and running and doing backstabbing and backbiting and fussing and fighting and cussing and pulling guns. Nobody knew that this person, Paul Robinson, would be such a person. And even in my own hometown, just as Jesus, I was without honor. And trust me, I don't look for honor and I don't look for glory. But people would show you disrespect. Even people who know you will show you disrespect or think they know you. Okay, I'm going on. But see, that doesn't make his work any less important. A person doesn't need to be respected or honored to be useful to God. Amen, somebody. If friend, neighbor, or family doesn't respect your Christian work,
mm-hmm.
don't let their rejection keep you from serving God. I stopped to tell somebody tonight that somebody has let rejection keep them from serving God. Somebody has let somebody else say a word about them that caused them to not serve God in the manner that he is to be served. So I come to ask you a question again tonight. Do you really know him? You know, we think we know Jesus. We accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we know him, and we say we know him, and we know about him. But do you really know him? I want to go somewhere in the Bible days, you know, when it comes down to knowing somebody, there was a time when Mary was not known by no man. But when a person in the Bible, when a man in the Bible knew a woman or a woman knew a man, that meant that they had a relationship. That means that they had a intimate relationship one with another. So what I'm saying tonight is, do you have that intimate relationship with Christ? Do you know him for yourself? Not because mama said or granny said, not because I heard my friend talk. You know, many people have gotten saved or confessed salvation because they heard somebody else or they were trying to follow their friend and say, I'm going to do it because they did it. That's the reason I got saved, because my friend got saved and find out they don't know Jesus as they say they know him. And I know that my text reads that Jesus was without honor in his own hometown. But why? The question remains, why? Why was he without honor? Because the people did not know him. They did not know him, and they did not respect him, so they rejected him, his own peers. Let me give you a reference to what I'm trying to say here. Remember in the Genesis chapter 45, when Joseph had to announce himself to his brothers. Remember when they had to go to Egypt to get food, and Joseph took them through this whole process of coming to know him. In Genesis chapter 45, verse number 3, it says, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But listen now. But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned and realized that Joseph was standing there in front of them. See, the thing about it is, they sold Joseph into slavery. They knew that he was his father's favorite son. They knew that his father made him a coat of many colors, and they knew that Joseph had prophesied that one day you're going to bow down to me. One day you're going to have to come to me, so to speak, and to get things that you need. Okay, are y'all with me? Y'all still with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So Joseph told his brothers, he says, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. He said, but don't be upset. Don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. Then on down in the text, it says, he says, it was God who sent me ahead of you to preserve your life. Now, listen, now when I read that and when I thought about that, when I presented it to the church, I thought about Jesus, and I thought about what God done with Christ for us. God sent Jesus ahead of us. Remember what John said in John the 14th chapter? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And in this same situation here, Joseph had to go and prepare a place for his brothers. I know I'm going a long way around this road, but I'll get there. Go and prepare a place for his brothers so that their lives will be preserved. Amen, somebody. Jesus went ahead of us, and he has preserved a place for us.
Amen.
So that our lives Amen. Will be preserved. Hallelujah. Our lives
Amen.
Will be preserved in glory if we make it there. I just had to say that. If we make it there. But see, it says down here in verse 7 in Genesis 45, he says it about 3 or 4 times. He said, God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many saviors. I ask you a question tonight. Again, those of you who are listening by radio, ask yourself this question. Those of you who are listening by phone, ask yourself this question. Like I said earlier, I ask myself the question, do I really know him? Do I really have that intimate relationship with Christ that Jesus called for us to have, that the word of God says that we should have in order to receive salvation? I'm not saying that nobody is saved, because I don't know. Only God knows. But if you don't know him, if you don't truly know Christ, then your relationship is in vain. You're skating on thin ice, brother, sister. Your relationship is in vain. During this time of pandemic, during this time of coronavirus, during this time that we're getting ready to go into an election that God knows what's going to happen, during this time, it's a time that we need to come to know Jesus.
Amen,
Amen somebody. Because
Amen.
We have nobody else to turn to except Christ. There's nobody on earth who can fulfill the love that we need, the care that we need, the compassion that we need in this world today, the healing that we need in this nation today. There's nobody. I heard in a song that says, nobody compares to you. No one compares to you.
Yes.
And we need Jesus, and we need to know him. We need to know him for ourselves, church. We need to. We've got to come to the knowledge of Christ and to be able to say, Jesus, watch this. I want to show you something. I want to show you something. I'm going somewhere, and I'll be through here in a minute. I'm turning over to some of y'all might know where I'm going. I'm turning over to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, and this is what happened to those of us who say that we know Christ, those of us who cry out Jesus, and but we don't really know him. We continue to live in our wicked ways. We continue to fuss and cuss and fight, and we continue to do people wrong, and we continue to backstab, and we continue to turn against God, and we continue to say everything is going to be all right. God is going to take care of me. And knowing that you are in sin, Elder, hold on just a second, Elder. I have to do something. I'm going to have to change my earpiece. Hold on. Can you still hear me, Elder?
Yes, hallelujah.
Okay, I had to change out. My battery went low on my earpiece. But here's what happens in chapter 7 of Matthew. And it says in verse 22, it says, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. And we performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, listen now, Jesus said, I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. See, there's a lot of people that Jesus is going to have to say that to. But they're going to be saying, oh God, I helped people, I did this for people, I done that for people. But Jesus is going to say, but did you know me? Did you know me? Did you love me? See, a lot of people think just good works is going to get them into heaven because they helped somebody across the street, because they bought somebody a hamburger at a restaurant, because you bought somebody gas that needed gas in their car, because you helped somebody out financially. Yes, those are good works. Those are the works that Christ wants us to do. But do you know him? That's the question I'm asking tonight. And I believe I've asked that question enough on the line that somebody ought to be able to respond to it. Somebody ought to be able to respond to it and say that they know Christ, or be honest with yourself and everybody else and say, man, I don't know Christ like that, but I want to get to know him. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting ready to close, and I want to read this in my closing. Don't let prejudice blind you to truth. As you learn more about Jesus, try to see him for who he really is. And you see, that's what we got to do, Elder. We got to see Jesus for who he really is, church.
Amen.
For who he really is. I'm going to go ahead, Elder. You can open up the lines for any comments. But I just want to know, do you really know him?
Christian, do you really know him? Mics are open for comments. Mics are open.
Okay, I would like to say that we have to learn to not only read the word, but study the word, meditate on the word, live the word, which is more important, obey the word, and share the word, and trust in the word. I think if you start your day off, everybody can't start their day off because maybe they get up late or whatever. But when you read God's word, you have to ask God to put those words into your heart. Because the heart is deceitful and very wicked. Only God knows the heart. And when we put things into our hearts and our minds and our souls and depend upon God for everything, we pray for any and everything. When we walk close with God, it's just like having a husband. I hear Sister Clay say how much she loves her husband. So I'm quite sure they love each other. They spend time with each other, and they depend upon each other. A lot of times people, they read the word, but they're not living the word. They might know Bible verses, but they don't live out those Bible verses. They don't try to be the light in this dark world, and that's very important. Can you hear me? Because something went wrong, it seemed like. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
You trust him for every detail of your life and depend upon him each and every day. And I think if you do that, the more you walk with the Lord, the more you talk with the Lord, the more you depend upon the Lord, then you can really say you know Jesus through your experiences, things that you have gone through, that you depended upon him and trusted him every minute of the day, then you can say you really know Jesus.
That's my opinion by reading his words.
The intimacy that we need with Christ, we need to know Him as if as the same way that I know my wife, you know, the same way that she know me. It needs to be an intimate knowing. It needs to be not just reading the word. You got to love that word that you're reading. I mean, you Amen. Got to, because you got to know who's speaking that word, and you got to know who has written that word. So it's got to be, and that's the kind of knowing that I'm talking about. And I can point to myself and say that I need to get to know Jesus better. You know, I need to get to know more about Him. And like you said, my sister, we will read and we will study. And we will spend time. When you spend time in God's word, you're spending time with God. You're spending Amen. Time with Christ. The same way that a husband That's will good. Spend time with his wife, or spend time with a husband and wife will spend time with their children. One of the things that I have seen around here in relationships, one of the things that causes relationships, I'm sorry, to dissolve, the first thing they say is, they don't spend time with me. And when you don't spend time with your spouse or your woman or your man, then they're going to feel like you don't love them. So I got a question. How do you think Jesus feel about us when we don't spend time with Him? The only way to get to know somebody is to spend time with them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And one thing about spending time, quality time, you know, that quality time with the Lord, that quality time with your mate, that quality time with your children and with your friends, those are quality time, because you can spend time, but what kind of time are you spending with them?
Right, good.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Are there any more comments? We have a lot on the line. Any more comments? Just speak out, and it's just like sitting around the round table, and we're just talking. Amen. We're not here to judge it.
That's
all. We're just having a conversation with brothers and sisters.
Amen. You know, I said earlier, and sometimes, and I'm not saying this about anybody here, but sometimes when you're sitting around and you throw out a question or a comment, and people tend to get real quiet, they're pondering. They're pondering on that question. And it's okay to question yourself. I know we get embarrassed sometimes by questioning ourselves, especially about our salvation. And especially about religion, we get embarrassed by that. You think that God is mad at you, or get mad at you if you don't say. But let me tell you something: if you don't know Christ and you say you know Christ, you heard what I read in Matthew chapter 7 when the people said, "Lord, we prophesied in your name. Well, Lord, we've done many miracles in your name." You know, does that prove that they love Christ?
Mm.
No, that does not prove it. So God already knows our hearts, and He already knows whether or not we love Him. Jesus already knows that. So if we're keeping this thing hid in our heart, guess who is hurting? Guess who is hurting? It's hurting us, or it's hurting you. If you keep it in your heart, if you keep it pondering in your heart and don't confess that, Lord, I don't know you like I want to know you.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, can I get to know you, Lord? Help me to know you, Lord. Help me to know you better. Help me to know you more. And just be honest. Just be honest with ourselves. It's one thing that I really believe that God is looking for.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can I go to Mark 6:4, where it says a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown, among his villages and his own family. Can I speak on that for a minute?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Speak.
Okay, is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
The reason why I say that is because sometimes, like Pastor Robinson was talking just now about how he used to be versus how he is now, and how people was shocked that he was a pastor and he used to curse and all that. I remember, everybody come from a different background in ministry, okay?
Yeah.
But I remember going to this women's conference. And the speaker was there, and she was a great speaker. And I said, oh, she is, this is when I first started seminary. I said, she is very, she's very good. But then as she continued to talk at the church, at this Baptist church that we was at, she had mentioned that she had been in the church for 10 years and was in ministry. They never let her, she never spoke at the church before. But then she moved to New York City, and she became involved in ministry even more. They found out about it. They wrote her. They sent her a plane ticket to come to Cleveland to speak. But she said the whole time she was at the church, they never offered her to speak. She had to go out of town in order to become a speaker at the church that she used to belong to for 10 years. And I said, wow. So, you know, it was like she had to leave Cleveland in order to come back to Cleveland to speak in her own church.
Okay.
It wasn't her church at the time, but she was previously a member at that church.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes families don't want to accept you as your position in ministry.
Amen.
Sometimes it could be for jealousy. It could be because they didn't make the effort to do something. And see, God uses people different ways. Some people can preach, don't have to, have never gone to a seminary, but they can preach just as good as some of the preachers that's gone there. So God uses, some people have a talent to speak and to preach. God blesses some people with gifts that he doesn't bless other people. Like some people can play the piano. They have to go to school to play the piano. Because of other people, God gave them that talent to be creative and doing whatever he wants them to do. So it's just that we have to honor God for what he does for us. And sometimes he can put you in a position that you can just glorify his name. And that's what we're out there for, to glorify his name, not our name. It's all about him and not about us and about his people. We'll get the glory when we get to heaven.
but we are we see here in our text as I read earlier that these were people who had grown up with Jesus, and you remember how I said that they pretty much just talked about him. You know what I mean? And that's what happens. That's what happens when we grow up with people and they have a jealousy, as you said, a little bit of jealousy or a little dishonesty, stereotype about who you are. And see, and that just goes to show you that people don't really know you. I've got friends right now. I've got a friend right now that's a pastor of a church, and we have been friends for now over 50 years. Well, not over 50 years. Cause, yeah, over 50 years. I try to take 10 years off my life. But over 50 years we have been friends. But when I gave him my testimony, he didn't really know me. Because what happened was he had lost contact. He had lost his way with me. And I believe that that's what happened with Christ in his own hometown. And people had just got used to who he was and lost their way with him. And, you know, and began to say, you know, see, because they was used to Jesus working as a carpenter. But let me remind you of something. Before Jesus in chapter 7, before he went to his hometown and he spoke those words, Jesus was already teaching about adultery. He was teaching about divorce. He was teaching about giving to the needy. He was teaching about fasting and praying. He was teaching about revenge. He was teaching about loving your enemies. He was teaching about the vows that we should make. And he was teaching about the law. So nobody could say, and I said all of that to say this, nobody can say that, you know, we can't believe him because we know him. Because he had already done these miracles. He had already done all of this teaching. Before we even get to chapter 7, he had already done all his teaching in the synagogues. And people, trust me, it's one thing about Christ. When he's around, he draws a crowd. That's where I want to be. I want to draw a crowd. You know, when I'm speaking, and when Christ spoke, he always drew a crowd. So nobody could really say, you know, I find that they were wrong by saying they didn't believe him because they believed in why he was teaching. They believe that. So that's just I'll let go of this, but I just wanted to know. I just wanted to know tonight, do you know him? Do you know him? And you don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell Elder Clay. But I want this to soak into your sanctified imagination. I want you to, in your sanctified mind, so to speak, I want you to think about this. I kind of like to put pressure on people. I want you to think about it real hard. And if you don't know Christ, if you don't know him, I'm praying for you right now that you will spend time with him so that you can know him. You can not just know about him.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? There's time when people know about you, and then there's people who know you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And that's the same way it was with Christ. Amen. I'm a Amen. Any more questions or comments?
This is good. Intimacy is the key. We see that Jesus was intimate with the Father. He always He always left and was by himself with him, with the Father, speaking to the Father. And as he did that, when he came down, wherever he was by himself, he saw the power. He saw the impartation of even more that the Father gave him to do. We know that he was God himself, but in the flesh he was man. And man stole away and slayed and laid before the Father, even though he gave out. He went to the Father to get back in so the Father can replenish. I never say that word right. Him. And it was intimacy. Intimacy. Intimacy is key.
And that's what we need. That's what we need. I can't say it. I know that you all who are on the radio and you all who are listening by internet, I know that I can't say it enough. I can't say it enough that the intimate part of our relationship with Christ, the just knowing about him cannot touch the intimate part that we know of Christ. And that's why that's all I'm trying to say tonight is to ask yourself this question. Please ask yourself. Ask your children do you this question. Ask your husband or your wife. Ask your uncles and aunts. Ask people this question. And if they don't really know him, introduce them or reintroduce.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get caught up and we lose our way. And we think we know everything. We think we know everything there is to know about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably do. We can go to seminaries or colleges or lectures or whatever we go to. We can go to all that stuff. But that don't help us to know him. That is something that you got to do
good.
For yourself.
That's right. That's good.
You got to do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. I can't. My wife can't know Christ. I can't know Christ, I'm sorry, for my wife.
Right.
And you can't know it for somebody else. People have to know them for themselves. They have to know Christ for themselves. And that's all I'm asking tonight. I just want you to think about that as you go through the rest of this week. Please think about it and find out and try to find out. It's okay to say I don't really know him like I want to or like I need to. It's okay to say that. But it's a process, and it takes work, and you can get to know him. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I know, Elder Clay, I done burned up all that time, but
it's all good.
It's all right.
I'm done, sir. I'm done, sir.
Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for your good sermon.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Robinson, we thank you for being the cook tonight, and serving us some food that I know that I enjoy, And when we are eating the Word of God, God says, taste and know that I am good. So I've tasted it, and it's good to me. I like what you brought. I'm just thankful that you brought a thought provoking word for a self evaluation a question Christ that's a self evaluation, so we thank you for that for keeping us on target, because God has greater works for us, and in order to do greater works, we're gonna have to dig deeper. We're gonna have to dig deeper in ourselves and repent. Move closer to the Word of God. So we thank you so much. Thank you,
each and every one of you,
for being a part of this evening. I pray that you will be safe within this COVID-19. You and your families will be safe, because we really want to hear from you again. May God bless you. Remember, we love you, but God loves you.
Amen.
Most.
Amen.
Left me far.